Attention, Winnipeg travelers. Flight 96 to Winnipeg will now depart 3 hours behind schedule. We apologize for any inconvenience this has caused you. A complimentary meal will be served in the airport restaurant.
3 more hours? That's no way to run an airline. Oh well. Might as well get started on my story. My introduction to the Mennonite archives was full of surprises.
Yuck.
It's boring. Dull. Oh, let me see. It was just another ordinary Friday night, as I remember. It had been a long week. Yeah, that's a little better. It had been a long week, and I was looking forward to a quiet supper with friends. The reservations were for 8, but they were all ready to go at 6:30. "Forget the pizza," she said. "There's a good speaker at the Mennonite Heritage Center. You can eat on the way." Well, hey, I'm a Mennonite too, but listening to a history lecture on a Friday evening, when that pizza had been calling my name all week? Right. As I watched them go, I realized that now I wouldn't get a decent meal until my weekly supper at the folks, next Wednesday. Well, I hadn't missed with Mum for nearly 2.5 years. So that was how this story started. I knew it wouldn't end there when I found the note on the door. "Sorry we missed you, son. Had to take dear old Aunt Millie's stuff to the archives? Table set? There's food in the fridge?" "Yeah, I love you too, Mum." Archives again. I was beginning to feel a bit left out. But I saw the address by the phone and something clicked. A good reporter knows a hot story when he sees one. Maybe I was onto something. My editor thought so too, and gave me the green light to investigate. "Take a look around," he said, "but stay out of trouble." My plan was to blend in with the shelves, but she spotted me right away.
"Good morning. Are you looking for something?"
"Yeah, a story. Think you got one here?"
"Definitely. Do you know what year it was published?"
Next week. Maybe the week after."
"I'm sorry, sir. Here at the Mennonite Heritage Center, we deal with the past, not the future."
I could see we had a communication breakdown. Her name was Suderman, Beverly Suderman. She was still explaining when we were joined by her associate, Dennis Stays. He agreed to show me around. The 50-cent tour, he called it. Good thing I was broke. Turns out the place was started back in 1933 by the Conference of Mennonites in Canada to store all their historical records. He told me they had stuff here going back over 200 years. Hard to believe.
"And we keep books, church records, diaries, even works of art in our gallery here. Say, a reporter like you might even be interested in some old newspapers. We have Mennonite papers back here in the vault going back to the mid-1800s.
It's a little cold in here."
"This vault has climate control. It helps preserve the old documents. Keeps them in top condition."
"Hey, 1884. That's definitely yesterday's news."
"Well, news always does become history until it is rediscovered. Then it becomes news again. That's why we're here. To make the news of the past alive and available."
I could see the lecture coming, so I steered him down the next aisle. Plum Cooley? Reichenbach. Hey, what's this?
"School registers from southern Manitoba. Lots of Mennonites there, you know. People are always dropping in to look up their names and to see if they remember their former classmates."
"Hey, look at that. My great uncle Frank. 1926. Wonder what all those dashes mean beside his name." By this time, Dennis had disappeared down another aisle. I decided to do some snooping on my own.
"Oh, there you are. I thought you might want to see where our microfilms are stored. Oh, excuse me, Angelica. Didn't mean to barge in on you."
"That's okay. What's up?"
I wondered what she was doing here this early on a Monday morning. I didn't have to wonder long.
Research, of course. Musicology.
A musa what?
Musicology. You know, the study of music and its history. Actually, I'm doing a paper on Mennonite songs for a university course.
I don't hear any music. You want to turn up the volume on that machine?
The volume? No, no, no. This is a microphone reader. I'm just studying a collection of Mennonite folk songs from Russia. A Heinrich Friesen put it together.
I had to take her word for it. The German script was Greek to me. But why on microfilm? Where's the original?
Well, sometimes when the original is too fragile to handle, we make a copy. That way we can still make it available to researchers. Here, a roll of film like this can store up to 2,000 pages.
I made a quick calculation. At that rate, the output of my whole career would fit on half a reel.
But they do have some real hymn books. The rare books are in the vault. You wouldn't believe what they have back there. Hey, here's a Mennonite Gesangbuch from 1829. We sang this song in church yesterday, in English, of course.
And it's all kept here, like a big secret.
Well, there's really no secret about it, but it is true that a lot of people don't know about this place. I found books here that even my professor doesn't know exist.
Hey, now that's incredible. There must be everything you'd ever want to know about Mennonites at these very archives. I mean, there must be literally tons of stuff here you wouldn't find anywhere else.
No, no, wait. There's still more. A good part of my research was done across town at the Mennonite Brethren Archives.
Another Mennonite archive? Across town? I asked for directions. But I should have bought a map. Monday afternoon. Late afternoon. This looked like the place. But I asked just in case.
The archives? Just down these stairs. I'm going there myself. If you wouldn't mind opening the door, these boxes are heavy.
The box looked heavy, all right. And by the way he was guarding it, I figured there must be something pretty valuable inside.
Before he died, Dad made me promise to make sure and give his sermon notes and papers to the archives. Somebody there will know what to do with them, he always said.
Another box full, Roy? Terrific. We'll be happy to take them. Look at this. Sermons. Minutes from board meetings. A church register. And these?
Oh, yeah, that. I'm not sure what's in that pile. I'm sorry it's not better organized.
No problem. We have volunteers who help me catalog everything and put it all in order in file boxes. That's what we're here for.
I'm a little worried about these letters, though. They're rather private. Family items and such. Is there any way to...
Restrict access to them? Yes. We could arrange something like that for a period of years.
They seem pretty wrapped up with that box, so I had a good look around. Something he said got me thinking about my own family history and Aunt Mildred's box of papers. Someday I'd have to look them up.
Excuse me. You must be the reporter. Dennis phoned and warned me you were coming. I'm Ken Reddig, and I make sure things get put back when people take them out.
Archivists. They obviously stick together. I could see that my cover was blown, so I started asking questions. I asked him what was in these boxes. Just old papers? He showed me some things I'd never seen before. And then we talked about the people he'd met in the archives over the years.
All kinds. Old, young. A lot of them are looking up their family history, or writing the story of their home church. We have church records going way back.
Then I got a look at the guest book. The addresses read like an atlas of the Mennonite world. Kansas, Germany, Paraguay, Russia, and yes, Herbert, Saskatchewan.
Oh yes, you'd be surprised at all the different people who drop in on the archives.
Just then the door opened.
Excuse me, sir. Is this the archives? For Mennonites?
Yes. This is the Mennonite Brethren Archives. Can I help you?
Help me? I am here to help you. You see, I like history. I like to find old things. Now here, look at this. I found this in the attic of the house I just bought from a Mr. Reimer. You see, there are lots of Reimers in Iskaldonen. It's great. Full of old papers. Can you read this stuff?
Let's see. My goodness. Copies of the Mennonite Schurunschau from 1890. Great! You say you found them in your attic?
That's right. I phoned Mr. Reimer. He told me to throw them in the garbage. But me, I like history. I said no to that garbage idea. These papers could be important, I said. He said, okay, and gave me the name of this place.
I'm very grateful to you for bringing these down. We're still looking for some of these old copies to complete our collection.
My privilege. As I said,
yes, I know, you like history.
Right, I like history. But tell me, what is this place exactly?
Well, by storing important Mennonite documents here, and even not so important ones, we preserve the history of the Mennonites.
I see.
Let me show you the kinds of things we keep. Maybe you'll find more in your attic.
I'll certainly try.
Here, for example, is a picture of conference delegates from 1909.
Look at all those beards. And no women. I guess they were too busy making lunch for their men.
Well, that may be the reason. We've also got family records and quite a few genealogies in our collection. Mm-hmm. Hanging on to our Mennonite history is important to all of us Mennonites.
That's right.
We see it as a part of the larger story of God's dealing with his people. It's so important, in fact, that there are three major Mennonite archives in Canada.
Three?
Two here in Winnipeg, and another one out east in Conrad Grable College in Waterloo, Ontario.
What's this? Three archives? No, I'm the kind of reporter who likes to be thorough. I knew what I had to do. If I hurried, I could just catch the last flight east. Tuesday morning, Conrad Grable College. It's a pretty place, overlooking the University of Waterloo, but I hadn't come to admire the view. I found the Mennonite Archives of Ontario upstairs, next to the library. It was quiet among the shelves. A bit too quiet, I thought. It looked like a discussion was going on in the archivist's office. So I drifted over to see what I could find out.
So my teacher said we could pick our own topics. But Mr. Stanner, I don't even know where to start. We have to include something about the earlier settlers of Waterloo County and our own family history.
Well, if it's information on the first Mennonites in Ontario that you want, you've come to the right place.
Good. I looked up Mennonites in our encyclopedia at school, and there sure wasn't anything there. My grandpa Sean suggested that I come here.
Okay. Look, Suzanne, why don't I show you around, and we'll find some books to get started on.
That was when I stuck my head in the door. By the time it was unstuck, I had caught his attention. Said it sounded like a project I'd want to do myself someday, if he didn't mind me tagging along. He didn't seem to mind.
The first thing both of you should do is read this History of the Mennonites in Canada by Frank Epp. Were you aware that the Mennonites first came up here from Pennsylvania as early as 1786?
1786? That's what, 200 years ago? Gee, I guess Mennonites have been around for a while.
It was news to me, too. My grandparents only arrived in Canada in 1926.
In fact, it was a Mennonite minister named Benjamin Eby who helped found the city of Kitchener. He eventually became an important figure in local history.
Wait a minute. I think my great-grandfather was an Eby, on my mother's side. I wonder if they were related.
It's possible. Would you like to try and find out?
I could tell we were onto something big. Off we went on a merry chase. Sam Steiner, the archivist, showed her how to look up names in the card catalog. There were boxes of old documents to check. Sam even came up with an old photo of a family reunion. It had some of Suzanne's relatives on it. Then he showed us something really impressive.
You'll certainly want to see this. This is old Benjamin Eby's ledger book from his business.
Let's see. Bought it in the year of our Lord, 1824, for 22 shillings. Wow. Is that really his handwriting?
Yes, it is. In this book, he kept a record of all his business transactions over the years. You know, things like flour and beef for the winter or building supplies.
And how much he paid for everything. But I can't read his writing.
That's because most of it is in German. Maybe you could bring your grandfather in to translate it for you. Look, here's the last entry. In 1856, when the family settled his estate.
Do you have any other really old stuff like this?
Actually, in those early years, the Mennonite leaders didn't keep many records, to tell you the truth. Not like today. One thing we do have is this deed from a land sale. In 1806, it looks like, signed by Richard Beasley. Here's his signature at the bottom. Beasley's the man who sold a lot of land to the first Mennonite settlers.
Eventually, Suzanne settled down behind a pile of family history books, and Sam went back to doing whatever archivists do all day. Me? I got distracted by all the Mennonite magazines they had on the racks. After lunch, Suzanne was still hard at work. She said it was a bit like being a detective, or an investigative reporter. One minute you've got a lot of clues, the next minute the trail goes cold. Yeah. And I wanted to know about Benjamin Eby.
You mean, was he my great-great-great-great-whatever? I don't know yet, but if I find out, I'm sure it'll be worth an A+.
I wanted to stay and help, but I had a plane to catch and a deadline to meet.
Attention, travelers. Attention, travelers. Our flight to Winnipeg will be boarding in 15 minutes.
So here I am, waiting to fly home. I'm tired, but it's a good kind of tired. I've met some interesting people, and I've learned a lot. There was Angelica, learning about Mennonite music. I didn't even know songs had a history. I wonder how many new old books she's found today. And there was Roy, looking for a safe place for those precious mementos from his dad. There was Mr. Flaming. He liked history. Yeah. And he knew where it belonged. And Suzanne, hunting up her family roots. I wonder if that old Benjamin Eby really was her great, 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 great granddad. Imagine being able to trace your roots back to the first Mennonite settlers in Canada. Kinda makes you think. If there were no archives, probably a lot of this stuff would get lost. Okay, back to Winnipeg. I bet the group's waiting for me. We're supposed to go out for that pizza we missed, but that's gonna have to wait. I've got a story to file.